Okay, this talk is jointly with Bill Rosenberg, I think most of you know. And originally, I was thinking about talking about like sample size of the randomized design because, when we're doing adaptive design, we end with randomized and how to calculate sample size. But then, at that time, I tried to ask Bill to come together, and he can give a talk like this. And then he said he cannot come, and finally I decided that I just give this talk here. And this is really mainly based on several of the papers we just did, like for the past 2 years. I will start with the overview of the problem, and then the first thing to try to solve the problem is try to fix the expected failure and maximizing the power. And then after we're doing that, then you can find that the relation between power and the design is that you can see that if the variation of the of a design is too big, then we lose power. So then after that we can find that what is the lower bound for the variability. And then because we got the lower bound, then we can define asymptotic best design. So that's section 2 and 3 basically are the quite theoretical, and the fourth part we will discuss different type of response adaptive designs, and some of them you can see that they are asymptotic best. Basically means you cannot improve anymore. And some asymptotic results and simulation results will follow. And if I have time, I will spend maybe 5 minutes talk about what we did here is fixing the expected failure and maximizing the power. But what we also can do is fix the power and minimize the total number of failure, expected number of failure. And this is some recent work we did together. And some further topics and conclusions will be made.
Can you give an example of a scenario where you would fix the number of failures you'd expect in advance, say, and then try to maximize power or something? I can't imagine a situation like that.
Like basically, you can see that when we fix the expected number of failure, basically it's similar as you fix the allocation target. It's the same thing.
Same as you fix what?
Fix that allocation target, that proportion to allocate to the treatment A and the treatment B. I will say that.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, that's basically what I mean. Yeah. So as we know that the clinical trials are very compact with multiple objectives. Like those objectives could be compete to each other. So here I just list some of them. The first one is maximize the power. So then you can basically detect the efficacy of your treatment. And the second one is minimize the expected total number of failure. And the third one could be maximize the individual's experience in the trial, basically like second and the third, you can see they are quite similar in some sense, and also could be minimize the total number or total cost of the trial and some others. But today, what I will focus basically the two of them. The first one, maximize the power, and then minimize the expected number of failure, and I will basically talk about a simple case. First, binary responses. We have treatment A and treatment B. And then the PA is the success probability, PB, and QA, QB we can define as the failure probability. And NA is the number of the patients on treatment A, and NB is the number of patients on treatment B. This notation is quite standard. And the development of this talk will based on this simple model. And in the paper, we basically talk about a more general case in some of the paper. But here I just doing the simple case. So when we talk about the expected total number of failure, you can see if that total sample size is n, and if rho is the allocation proportion, then you can see the total expected number of failure will equal this one, and eventually you can calculate and equals to n rho qa plus 1 minus rho qb. So basically, if we want to fix the total expected number of failure, we just fix the rho. So that's what I mean in this talk. So as I said, like the two of the objectives are basically compete to each other. If we want to maximize the power, we should always use the NEM allocation for that, like if we compare PA minus PB. But then in that case, you total number of failure could be large, as I think in some of the talks already mentioned. So what do we do? The solution could be two kind of. The first one is we expected that fix the expected failure. That means we fix the rho and maximize the power. And the second one is to fix the power and minimize the expected number of failure. So our main part of the talk will be the first part, and then I will just briefly mention some of the second part. So again, I will start with the simple problem. So here we fix in the rho and maximize the power. So we start with that PA, PB as we said, and delta equals PA minus PB. And we consider a simple hypothesis, delta equals zero versus the alternative delta not equals zero. And here we use the word test statistics. So this is that. This is the word test statistics. And we know that under H0, rho squared is asymptotic K-squared distribution with 1 degree of freedom. That's well known in the elementary statistical book. And if the alternative hypothesis is true, then the power is an increasing function of the non-centroidal parameter. So this is the non-centroidal parameter basically is this one for this test if we use the word statistics. And because we assume that the allocation proportion is fixed, so the target allocation proportion is fixed, so here we use n times rho plus nNA divided by n minus rho, because you know that when we use randomized design, nA divided by n will not exactly equal rho, but they will have a random effect here. So this non-centroidal parameter, you can simplify, can make it like this one. And NA divided by N minus rho, this one will change. And if it's a good design, we know the change will not be too much. So to consider this non-centroidal parameter, we just define a function, use X to represent that part. And because this X is X here you can consider is NA divided by N minus rho. This is pretty small, so you can use the Taylor expansion. And after some simple calculation, you can see this will be the result, that the Taylor expansion will certainly depend on the first and second derivative, and we calculate this out. Then you can see that non-centroidal parameter, eventually you can get this is a non-centroidal parameter. We have three terms. This is the first one. This is basically the main term. And this is the second term will be depend on NA minus N minus rho. This is basically the X there. And the third term is with a square and a plus some further error term. This term usually is very small. We can just ignore it when we talk about like a larger sample.
So what was the difference between rho and NA over
F? Rho is the target allocation proportion.
Target.
Yeah, target. And the NA, when we do a randomized design, NA divided by N will not exactly equal the rho.
So rho is expected value.
Yeah, the expected value. Yeah, basically it's the expected value. Yeah. Yeah, NA basically is a random variable, yeah. Yeah. So when we talk about this one, we can see that, as I said, there are three terms. 1, 2, 3. And the first term is basically the major term. The main term is, you can see the first one is fully determined by law. I think I should put this here first. This is the first term. The first term is fully determined by law, does not involve with NA. And this is the non-centralia parameter when the design is a fixed design. That means if it's a fixed design, that allocation proportion is law, this is the non-centralia parameter. And this one can be used to choose what is the law, what is the best law can achieve that largest power. So that's to maximize this one, you will get the lemma allocation. You will get the lemma allocation, will maximize this term. But certainly here, what we talk about, we are think about the law is fixed. We don't consider that for maximum this part. We can see the law is fixed. So the first term is fixed. The second term here is, you can see where, because this is a coefficient and this is the term, the difference between NA divided by N minus law. So this term could be positive or negative, and then you can increase the power and decrease the losing power by the bias of this term. But then, in most of the design, when we talk about randomized design, the power itself is a random variable. When you fix N, itself is a random variable. And here we talk about the non-centralia parameter, we can talk about that, because this is fixed, the second term we can consider expectation. Because NA divided by N are very close to law, so if you shift to one side, you may increase your power. You shift to other side, you may lose power. But if we take expectation, this, for a lot of design, this you can see this term will gone because the expectation this will equal zero. So on average, this part, you don't lose power. And then the third one, the third term is a term where you can see if you take expectation, this is always negative. And this, because this term, this coefficient is always positive. And this is that, what it look like. This term, if you take expectation, this will be the valence of the design, valability of the design. And when this valence is large, and here you have a negative sign, that means your centralia parameter will be smaller. And we know that in terms of power, if your non-centralia parameter is smaller, that means you decrease the power, you will get a smaller power, will decrease your power. So that's a part we will concede. So this is third part. So on average, you can see for design, the average power loss of the procedure is then a function of this term, which is a direct function of the availability of the design, because that ENA divided by N minus rho square, this is a variation, because here for most of the design, we consider this is true. The expectation will converge to that, will equal to the rho, at least asymptotically. So you can see, because of this relation, so what we want to do, we basically want to, we can use the valence of the NA divided by N to compare response adaptive randomization procedures with the same allocation law. So If two of the design have similar limit allocation, then we can use the availability to compare the power. So basically, from that calculation, we can get this one. So we want to find the valence of the find a design that the valence of NA divided by N as small as possible. So that's on the simple calculation of the non-centroidal parameter, we can find this one. And this, before we got this result, really in the literature that I think in two of the papers already by simulation, people found that if a design, the availability, the valence of the design is really large, then you can see that that can affect the power quite dramatically. So this is theoretically we can show this. So you can see that that question asked is that we want this to be as small as possible, but then do we have a low bound of this valence? If we have a low bound and we can find some of the design can attain the low bound, then we're done. Basically it means that asymptotically you cannot do more. That's the best you can get. And because this result and make us feel that we should do further, that can we find a lower bound for the availability of a design? And then here is section 3, basically we talk about that. Here I still use a similar like a framework for the binary response PAPB, and we assume that IPAPBNA be the official information of that of the parameters for estimating PA and PB. Suppose following condition, we have to follow certain regularity condition. And the first condition you can see is PA, PB, just is between 0 and 1, that certainly makes sense. And the second one is NA divided by N converge to this target, almost surely for a design. And this can be sure for most of the design, like most of the adaptive design for the binary case, you can show this converge to this one asymptotic, almost surely. And the third one is that this, I think this is just a notation. I used to be used this as a random variable, but here I just use NA. Just the NA divided by N, asymptotically will be converge to some normal distribution for the procedure, then we compare. And in that case, you can see the low bound. We can find the low bound of the valence of the NA divided by N is given by this term. And this low bound, you can see it's a kind of fish information low bound. It's basically a Kerr low bound. And for the different case, we can calculate the low bound. For binary case, we can calculate. For if we have more treatment, key treatment, we can also calculate the low bound. And for continuous response, we can also calculate that, like to the low bound for the valence of the NA divided by N. And because this is a low bound, and we know that that power is related, non-centroidal parameter is directly related with the valence of this one. So then we will say that our response adaptive allocation procedure that attains the low bound as asymptotically best. Here we just define asymptotic best. It's for a fixed target. So this target is fixed. So basically, we found that there is a low bound, then we went to see like, what kind of design is good. Before we really move to the design, I want to give some of the target. Because this low target, as I said, I fixed it first. But then for different case, we may use a different target. The first one is lambda allocation, basically, is if you want to maximize the power, the lambda allocation is the best. This will give you the maximum of power. And here, our unallocation basically is the mode, like drop the loose, it's unallocation. And here, there is another allocation, it's optimum allocation. It's based on the paper in the biometrics paper that proposes this allocation. And this allocation, this allocation basically that to get this one that make the what should I say? Basically, it's that the difference between when you test the PA minus PB and they have a variation that make the variation equals constant and then minimize the expected number of failure, then in that case you will get this optimum allocation. Square root of PA divided by square root of PA plus square root of PB. And this is related with the future discussion. So after that, we can talk about different response adaptive design. The first one is the randomized play the winner law. And a randomized pair winner law is a, we consider will be two treatments, just A and B. Begin with CA and CB, both of type A and type B in our own. And I think this is already introduced several times, but here I just briefly go through it. So if you draw A, like just draw a ball from on, you can see draw A, we assign the patient to A, and I repeat that ball, the second thing. Third one is that just add one type of A ball, if treatment A is a success, and add one type of B ball if treatment A is a failure. So this is a randomized pair winner law. If you draw a B, you will do the same. Eventually, you will do the same. Just assign patient to B, replace the ball, add one ball if succeed, add A ball if failure. And then you can see for this case, you can prove a certain proof that the proportion will converge to QA divided by QB divided by QA plus QB. This is converge to the unallocation. And asymptotic normality is also true. And the second one is that drop the rules, and certainly Ivanova is here, and this is proposed by her. We start with the uncontent three type of balls, not only type A, type B, but we have type 0. I think he used the immigration type I, but here I use type 0. And type A or if type A or type B ball draw, so assign to that treatment. So if it's A, just assign the patient to A. If it's B, assign to B. And if it succeeds, the ball is replaced. And the arm basically not change. And if failure, the ball is not replaced. So that means if you lose, you drop. So I think that's what she means, drop the lose. If you lose, then you drop that ball out. So then we shift to A if B is worse. But when you drop the balls, then you may end with low ball. So that's why she needs an immigration type of ball. So it's a type 0 ball. And here type is wrong. If the type 0 ball is drawn, then no subject is treated. The ball is replaced along with one type of A and one type of B. So if you see a 0 type of a ball, you just put two balls inside, A and B, inside, to keep that process can go on. And asymptotically, it can be sure this also converges to the unallocation. And it's kind of interesting, like for most of the un mode people proposed, all converge to this, is Zenon's play the winner law and randomized play winner law and drop the rules, yeah. And I think that one proposed by Nancy and Lee, and Duma is not, yeah, yeah. And also asymptotically, you can see this is asymptotic converged to a normal distribution. But for those two designs, you can see that both converge to the QA or QB divided by QA plus QB, the unallocation. And But yeah, lots of cases we may need the lemma allocation or that optimal allocation. So can we find a design that can target any given allocation? So the answer certainly is yes, because the last talk of this morning already gave the adaptive bias cone design can do that. And I found that her adaptive bias cone design is equals to the sequentially maximum likelihood procedure here I said. It's exactly the same. So after n minus one patient have response, we just calculate the PA and the PB. And then we can estimate the target law, because this law function will usually depend on PA, PB. So we can just calculate this one. Then randomly assign treatment A to patient M with probability law hat. So that means based on the estimate. Each time we based on the maximum likelihood estimator. So we sequentially change the allocation. And it, by doing that, you can it can be shown that the NA divided by N will converge to the target law function when asymptotically. And this asymptotic result, basically, you can see from that the paper I did with John in, we appear in Annals, I think, 204, the first issue. And at this paper, basically, we did a lot of asymptotic stuff for that different type of designs. And for that sequential maximum likelihood procedure, the problem is that the variation of the design is usually quite big. So that's why we think this design, like a doubly adaptive bias cone design, and maybe in the future, maybe change it to adaptive bias cone design. That seems too many names. So instead of we just like it, in that case, we just estimate the law, and then the next patient we assign with probability law hat to A. But sometimes that's not a good choice because the variation is too much, and you will see when I show you the asymptotic result. So the doubly adaptive bias cone design is let G be a function from 0, 1 times 0, 1 to 0, 1. That means that from x, y, the space, like a square space to a single space, satisfy certain condition, and the procedure then allocate the J to treatment A with probability G, N A, oh here should be. J minus 1 divided by J minus 1 tau star, tau hat. So you know this tau hat is the target for that particular case. And here is the proportion at that stage. NA J minus 1 divided by J minus 1, that's a proportion for that stage. And that's a target of the low head. So if the low head and the low head and that NA divided by at that stage, if it's too far, then we want to find more patient to A. If it's close, then we have too many patients in treatment A, then for the next patient, we should assign with high probability to B. And if they're very close, then we can go with almost a half of the probability in the same sense. And the problem of this seems a good idea, because by doing this, you will reduce that variation of the design dramatically. But the problem is how to choose the function G. And this original idea, I think, is the first appeal of the idea of doubly adaptive bias cone design is in the Astrid's paper. But the theoretical paper of that is by Astrid and Waterroof in 1995 in the Annals paper that discusses the theoretical property of the doubly adaptive bias cone design. And that the condition, the use of the G is value restricted. And even the own function, the use in the paper does not satisfy the condition. As pointed by, I think, Milfa and Page in the paper 99, 200. they found that even the own function does not satisfy condition in the Anna's paper. And this like motivates us to consider like Hu and Zhang in our paper, we consider this following function as a G function, and we discuss the asymptotic property and why it satisfies conditions. And this function, you can see, we have a gamma function. The x is the counter state of the proportion, and the rho is the target proportion. And you can see if x and the rho are very close to each other, this term will equals 1, and 1, then we end with the rho, so it's okay. So it's the same as you just assign the patient to with probability rho. But if x is very far from rho, for example, if x is very small from rho, then rho divided by x will be very large. And then this will make you have send more patient for the treatment A if x is really small. And if x is larger than rho, then this proportion will be smaller than 1. Then you will have small probability to send the patient to A. So this function itself satisfy that kind of concern. And also another thing is the gamma is a parameter that we can control. If you want to shift more faster, then you can choose gamma to be large. And if you want to be not so fast, then you can choose gamma to be smaller. And then if gamma equals zero, this whole procedure will reduce to the sequential maximum. Will reduce to the one we just talked about. Sequential maximum likelihood procedure will reduce to this one, because if equals zero, then this term will gone. So it's just a rho. So then we'll reduce to the original one. So we can choose the gamma parameter for your own reason. Like some people want to converge faster, some case we want more randomized.
Yeah.
Okay. The story is that I think we and Doom they have already proposed something that called adaptive bias cone design. And when Ashley and Walter proposed this design, they think that even more adaptive. So they called it doubly adaptive. I think that's, and we just followed the same name. So now I talk about asymptotic result and a simulation. The first thing is that I think I will spend quite a bit of time for this table. This is the asymptotic valence we are interested in, because we want something that can attend the rho bound. And here when I talk about rho, I use three types of them. The first one we know, this one is that unallocation, and the second one is the lemma allocation, the third one is the optimal allocation proposed in 2001 by Rosenberg and others. And you can see if here we compare by this unallocation first. And if it's unallocation, the randomized pair when the rho, that this is the valence. And this is the valence for the drop of the rules of the Ivanova's drop the rules, and this is the valence. And you can calculate that rho bound of the valence. You can find that this one is basically the rho bound. So in terms of the unallocation, if your target is QB divided by QA plus QB, if that's it, I think asymptotically you cannot do better than this one. This is the best you can do. And also this one is also random. It's not a determinant. And that's a really good property. And for that, if we consider the similar thing for the sequential maximum likelihood procedure, then you can see this is the asymptotic valence. So you can compare those two. Compare with the rho bound, what you found, you see this term. is an extra term. That's the sequential maximum likelihood. This contribution could be quite big. You can see if QA plus QB is small, and this valence could be quite big. And that's why this design, the availability is quite high. And we also can see that the doubly biased cone design, this is the term, and you can see this is the low bound. And this term is extra term. And when you talk about this extra term, it depends on 1 plus 2 gamma. And if we choose gamma to be infinity, that's one possible choice. But that's not a good choice. If gamma equals infinity, this DBCD will attain the low bound. But if gamma equals infinity, the problem will, this will become a determined design. So each time you just with probability 1 assigned to treatment A with all assigned to treatment B. And this, so you can see DBCD basically does not attain the low bound. Drop the rules attain the low bound if we are interested in this allocation. But in a lot of cases, this may not be the allocation really we wanted to do. We can root to sometimes it's more attractive. So you can see that we can calculate the valence of them. This one always better than this one because if gamma larger than zero, then the availability of those will be smaller. And for all those cases, the doubly adaptive bias cone design, if gamma goes to infinity, always attend the low bound. Gamma goes to infinity, always attend the low bound. So it's just the same as here. The low bound, you can calculate from here, just let gamma go to infinity, then that's a low bound. We can calculate for different case. And so you can basically choose the gamma to balance the randomized and also the power in some sense by choosing the gamma here. Yeah, it's always monotone. That variation is monotone. But in the other side, that randomized, like when you increase the gamma, the randomness will reduced. So that's the trade-off. And we can see this is all based on asymptotic calculation. And if we're doing simulation, you can see similar thing. We can converge pretty fast. So this is the asymptotic and simulated mean of the allocation proportion of this one. This is NA, just NA divided by N for 4 examples. And we have 4 of them. And this row, what we use is the unallocation. It's QB divided by QA plus QB. Because that's for the randomized pair winner law, for the drop the rules, both converge to this one. To compare them, we use the same thing. And you can see for different length of the PAPB, this is a theoretical asymptotic rule. And this is a Bestmann simulation. You can see certain winds are equal, all of them are fine. We've converged very fast, just half of the balance. And if 0.7, 0.8, 0.7, the rule should be 0.6. And then the RPW does not converge that fast. And the drop the rules here is similar. And this DBCD converge pretty fast for almost all the case. And the drop the rules is because the convergence of the drop the rules will depend on the number of the zero type of ball. And if you choose differently, that will be different. Here I think I choose the zero type of ball equals 1. You can see very similar to the RPW. But the advantage of the drop of the loose is not the converge here. It's really the availability. And then you can see the availability is quite different. Here we consider similar case and then that for the for four types of the design. And A is the asymptotic, and S is a simulation result. And for the A, we consider the first one first. You can see that asymptotic result for that, if PA plus PB large or equal to 1.5, we know that the asymptotic normality is not true anymore. So that's why here I said NA. But the simulation, we can still do that. And from the simulation, here is a theoretical result. And here is a simulation. And the simulation is based on the sample size equals 100 and simulation, I did 1,000 simulation. And you can see, like for this case, they are quite far. This is theoretical result, this is simulation result. That simulation result is usually quite smaller. The main reason is it does not converge so fast. So then the availability of this one is not that big, but does not converge the target that fast. And for the drop of the loss, you can see that both the simulated and the asymptotic result are quite like even the PAPB not that big, they are quite close to each other. And very small. This has the smallest valence. And for the DBCD, here DBCD I use a gamma equals 2. This is the theoretical result, and this here is the simulation result. They're quite similar. So the DBCD converge pretty fast to the target, and also the valence quite similar to the asymptotic result. And from here you can see if the target is that it's a Q, it's an unallocation, then certainly we still should use, which one we shall use? Drop the loss. We shall use, because that one is the smallest valence. And from the simulation, you can also see, give the smallest variability. But if, in a lot of cases, we are not just doing the unallocation, then we need some other, we need a DBCD. Okay, and then I move, because I have 5 minutes, I move to the other one. It's to fix the power and minimize the treatment failure. So we can also fix the power and minimize the treatment failure. And in that case, the target will be, where's my target page? Yeah, here. When we talk about fix the power, fix the valence of the test estimate. If we want to fix the valence of the test statistics, then minimize the total number of expected number of failures, then that the target should be this one. This is based on their paper. This is the one. And by doing that, here is just some of the simulation we can see. Here I only compare, because when the target is the optimum target, you cannot use the randomized pair-winner law, you cannot use the drop the loss. But you can use the DBCD, like a doubly adaptive Bayes cone design. And here is that we compare it with the complete randomized. And you can see this is the power for the complete randomized. And here is if we choose gamma equals 2, you can see the power will always beat the complete randomized. This is totally based on simulation. It's no theoretical thing involved. But because the target is optimum, so you can see we beat the power for all the cases. And also at the same time, the total number of the failure here is also simulated. You can see we beat here all the time. No matter what the case, what the situation, but certainly not much, because here is the sample size, here the sample size N is calculated based on, it's simulated really, it's calculated and simulated based on this complete randomizer. It's not based on other design, but based on complete randomized. So this sample size is based on here. So you can see that's why here is almost every one of them is 90% of the power. So you can see that by doing response adaptive design, we can at least keep the power and save more patients. So that's a conclusion of that part. It's like a simulated power.
So it's like on the average?
Yeah. It's on the average. Best now, I think it's 10,000 of simulations. So now I talk about a little bit about like further topics. So we, for the simple case, for the binary response, two treatments, we can get a low bound, certainly, and we found it's really like a drop the loss, we can see a tendency bound for certain value. And for the DBCD, basically, if you choose a gamma equals infinity, you always attend for different target. But for that, if for care treatment, I really, at this moment at least, we didn't know which design can attend a bound. But at the same time, it's still random. Because the difference between the DBCD gamma equals infinity with the drop of the loss is that the drop of the loss is still random. But if the DBCD choose gamma equals infinity, it become a determinate design. That's no good. So for the K treatment case, is it possible to find something that can attend the low bound? I think it's possible, but we still have to do further research. Second part for that is for also for K treatment case, can we do that fixed power and minimize the expected failures? And that's, I think, that to Murphy's yesterday's talk, he basically tried to build up a framework to do that, to fix the power and minimize that for K treatment case. And also certainly for different type of the data response, especially for the survival data, because we are talking about clinical trial bio steps. Survival data is very important, but we haven't covered that part. And here is some conclusions. What I get did is basically, what we did basically is power function and availability, we basically link them together and then we can compare different designs, theoretically, not only just by simulation. And the second one, we can define asymptotic best design. That means if you got some is asymptotic best, then you shall not go further anymore because you cannot find a bad one in that asymptotic sense. And then the drop of the loss is best among the unallocation. And then the last one is that really in the simulation, in the theoretical development, we usually recommend DBCD with gamma equals 2 is the best design overall. Why this is best is can target early function and can apply to another type of the response. Like for the drop of the loss, you can apply to the 0-1 response. But for the double bias cone design, adaptive bias cone design, it can apply to continuous response and to other responses. And that's good. And the third one is it also has a small variability. And before I finish the talk, I went to... By the way, the talk is basically based on, mainly based on this paper, the second paper, and we are appearing in JASA. I think it's the next issue. And some other papers we did. And I think the last thing I want to say is thank you.